Surrogacy is an area that's changing so fast. The number of children born through surrogacy is about 10 times higher than a decade ago. And the Law Commission is now reviewing the processes around it. David Watkins is one of the first men to become a single father by choice through surrogacy. That was possible after a recent change in the law. And in the last few weeks, his parental order has been granted, making him the legal father of his son, Miles. Gemma Black is the surrogate to Kitty Cunningham's little boy, Jasper, who's 5 months old. They're all on the line. We might even hear a little contribution from Jasper or Miles if we're lucky, as I know Kitty and David both have their sons with them. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to hearing your stories. David, let's start with you. Tell me how it was possible for you to become Miles' father.
There was a change in the law, a remedial order that allowed single people to apply for parental orders, and that came into effect in January 2019. Before that time, only couples could apply for parental orders, and a parental order is absolutely necessary when you engage in a surrogacy journey, because when a child is born in this country, the woman who gives birth to the child goes down as the mother on the birth certificate, and if she's married, her husband goes down as the father. So if you're an intended parent, the true parents of that child, then you need to go to the court to get the surrogate's and her husband's parental rights extinguished, and for you to go on a new birth certificate. So I wasn't able to do that because I was single until January 2019.
Was the process harder or easier than you were expecting?
I don't think I knew what to expect really at the time when I went into it. I just joined an organisation called Surrogacy UK and just started making friends and getting my name known. But I think that because I was the single guy to join the organisation, I think my profile was quite high because of that. So I think a lot of people were aware of me, and I think that did help me to establish myself in that organisation to begin with. And I met my surrogate Faye in July, about 6 months after I joined, and we had a really, really smooth journey. Everything sort of went to plan, really. By the November, we were having an embryo transfer, and that was Miles, and he came out 9 months later. So all in all, from the time I joined Surrogacy UK in January 2019 to Miles' birth was 18 months, and I think that's generally regarded as a quite a fast journey, really.
Makes me smile just listening to you. Gemma, let's just explain the law, if you can, to me. How the law works in the UK. Surrogates, they're not allowed to be paid, are they?
No, they're not allowed to be paid. And I don't think any surrogate would want to be paid either. We're just reimbursed pregnancy expenses throughout the pregnancy.
Kitty, tell me about meeting Gemma.
Much like David has said, we'd joined the organisation and we'd been quite keen to get stuck in. There's an application waiting list, but we didn't want to wait until we became full members before we started going to socials, which were basically events in the afternoon at a pub where surrogates and IPs go in the hope to strike up a friendship. And we actually met Gemma at our second ever social while she was 14 weeks pregnant with her first surrogate baby. And I think because she was so early in her pregnancy, there was just such a natural friendship with no expectations from either side. So actually when we ended up being able to form a team and ultimately have Jasper, it felt so organic and natural because we'd been friends for about a year leading up to that.
That's really interesting. And that was important, was it, getting that bond?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, someone else carrying your baby, for someone who is a bit of a control freak like me, that feels quite out of control. So, yeah, to have someone that I never questioned Gemma once through the pregnancy. I knew that all she wanted to do was look after him in the best way possible. And she's been pregnant before. I haven't. She knew what she was doing. So having that trust meant I could just leave her to get on with her pregnancy exactly how she would any other pregnancy. And that was really important for us, yes.
Gemma, you sound like an angel. What prompted you to look into surrogacy?
Far from it, Gloria.
Tell us how you, you know, what prompted you to look into it?
So for me, I first became an egg donor, first of all, start of my sort of journey to surrogacy, from a friend of the family who unfortunately had to have a hysterectomy. And I was an egg donor for an anonymous couple to begin with, which was absolutely amazing. I loved that, but I came away feeling like something was kind of missing. So that's when I looked into surrogacy, and I came across an amazing organisation called Surrogacy UK, which is the same organisation that Dave is with too. And yeah, I found my first couple there, carried my lovely first surrogate baby, and then obviously met Kitty and Jamie in between then. And yeah, it's just, surrogacy has massively changed my life in many, many ways. And for me, you know, that's what friends do. If they need help, then I help them.
Wow. And as you say, this is your second surrogate. There was only a 7-month gap between your first and second surrogate pregnancies. You've got three children of your own.
I do.
And you think, and you wouldn't rule out doing it again?
Oh, absolutely not. And currently at the moment, I'm being a known egg donor for two lovely guys as well, in between me, hopefully, fingers crossed, getting towards a sibling for Jasper too. So it's pretty hectic over here, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And actually, like, we're doing a documentary as well, which Dave is included in. It's called The Surrogate, and it's to be confirmed, but it's on BBC Three mid-March, which we're all looking really forward to.
It's so fascinating to hear all your stories, but Gemma, this is a big commitment, and your first surrogate pregnancy wasn't at all straightforward, was it?
It really wasn't. No, I had an awful illness, which is called hyperemesis gravidum, in the first few weeks of carrying my first surrogate baby, which was a shock to everybody. I lost nearly 3 stone in weight. It's an illness which is severe vomiting in early pregnancy, and I've never experienced it with my own children. So yeah, it was a very worrying time, but I was very supported by my intended parents and my own family. That going into that the second time with Kitty and James, we had a plan, and it's always good to have a plan. And luckily for me, I didn't get hyperemesis carrying Jasper, but I still was very poorly. But Kitty and Jamie would come over and take my kids out for the weekend to give me and Stephen a break. And the, you know, the bond and the friendship was there, and the, you know, the plan worked.
And you've both mentioned the friendship element of it. So could you do it if there wasn't that connection?
Well, for me, I make it very, very clear from the start that it's a lifelong friendship that me and my family want from this. We sacrifice so much, you know, for 9 months, my children can't really sit on my lap because I'm carrying somebody else's baby. And, you know, there's a lot of sacrifices there. So for me and for us as a family, we go into it wanting that lifelong friendship. And, you know, for me, like, I love seeing pictures of my surrogate babies, both of them, but ultimately seeing them with their mommy and daddy as a family, that's what gives me the feels of surrogacy, seeing them all together, knowing that I played a part in that.
It all sounds so straightforward, and I haven't spoken to people about this before, but I don't know, David, I mean, your journey sounded quite straightforward too. Is there anything, I mean, in terms of the law, in terms of how we deal with surrogacy, is there anything that could have made your journey any better, any happier?
suppose, you know, when I think about my journey with Faye and her family, that was very easy and lovely, and just a lovely journey that we went on together. But there were points along the way which systems that weren't in place which made it very difficult and caused a lot of stress. For instance, because Mars was born during a pandemic, there were lots of worries about and insecurities about how many people should be allowed at the birth at the time. I think the NHS Trust that we were dealing with was still struggling to work out what their policy was on that. We ended up having a home birth. So you would think that at a home birth, you'd be more in control about who was in your house. But yet still, I was having to fight with the NHS Trust and the head of midwifery to be present at my own son's birth, because they had actually said to me that I wasn't allowed to be present due to the fact that only one birth partner should be there, and Faye's birth partner was her husband Lee. So that was really a very difficult time. And in the end, you know, due to a sort of letter writing campaign, really, we managed to get me present. And that was all partly because that NHS Trust did not have a surrogacy policy in place at all. They had done a surrogacy journey before, which they were quite proud at the time of mentioning. But actually, there was no real protocol in place for how to deal with surrogacy going forward, and certainly not in the time of a pandemic. So that was difficult. And then I have had numerous issues with people just not understanding, like, you know, why a single guy would want to have a kid on his own, and me sort of having conversations with people in, you know, local community, just trying to explain the situation. I often get asked if it's dad day to day, or you know, if I'm just, you know, giving my wife a rest, or, you know, people just assume that there's a woman at home who is Miles's mother, and I'm doing a temporary childcare arrangement.
How does that make you feel? That society still makes those assumptions.
We just have really low expectations of men as caregivers and fathers in our society. So we don't really know how to read a single man who's decided to bring up a child on his own. I mean, I think I do think single mums get it a lot worse. I think I often get complimented just for keeping Mars alive, you know, because I think people assume that a man is completely incapable.
Yes.
So I get complimented for things that I think single mothers don't, and they get a much harder time. So it's sort of a double-edged sword, really. But we just don't really put much faith into men as being able to bring up a baby. So I think that needs to change as well as we move forward and having more single men who can undertake this journey with surrogacy.
And you talking to us, that's part of enabling, pushing that change to come along a bit quicker, isn't it? You're a bit of a trailblazer.
Well, there are men in the UK who have had children through surrogacy before, and many of them have gone over to the United States and Canada to do it. And actually, since the law changed, were applying for parental orders retrospectively almost immediately since the law has changed. I did want to put more information out there, so because when I started doing it, I couldn't find anything really about how to undertake a surrogacy journey as a single man. And even a couple of fertility clinics that I contacted at the time almost laughed me off the phone. They couldn't quite understand why I wanted to create an embryo at that point. So I set up a website called Dadbee, which is at dadbee.uk, and it's just basically an information hub that supports solo men who want to become fathers.
Good for you. Kitty, let's come back to you. So you were with Gemma when she gave birth. In fact, you delivered your own baby.
I did indeed. Yeah.
Tell us about it.
So Jess was actually just woken up from a nap. So if you hear any gurgles or noises, he's with us.
I'm feeling like I'd be very happy to listen to gurgles or noises during this conversation.
Mark has been incredibly quiet today. He's normally piping up all the time. I'm sitting here with him on my lap, and he's been brilliant. So
yeah. So we also, obviously, Jasper was born during the pandemic as well, although we were in that slightly less strict period of October, November time when things were a bit more relaxed. We were able to go out a bit more, which meant the home birth team in Birmingham were really, really on side with us being there for the birth. They were actually really excited to be able
to.
Who's is that?
That was mine. I don't know. Is it yours?
No, it wasn't mine. No.
But it's not mine. Just to make that clear.
I had two noises.
Yeah, so we were able to be present, and not only that, but like I said, the home birth team were so on board and excited for us to be there, and we'd mapped out a plan that if everything went as we wanted it to, that Gemma would have a home birth in the water and I would be in there with her to be able to deliver Jasper. And it just went so beautifully to plan. She called us at 2 o'clock, 2 a.m. in the morning, and she said, in a voice I've never heard Gemma use before, "You'd better get over here now." And we were like, "Oh my goodness, okay." We were actually staying in a hotel literally around the corner, so we were there in half an hour, and under an hour later, Jasper was born. So it was none of us could have envisaged it went as well as it did, especially after consultants had warned that he was going to be a giant baby that wasn't suitable for a home birth, and then Gemma had him in 8 minutes of active labour. So, and this is another reason why, having the friendship and the trust, we had a consultant saying we'd like to do a C-section right now, and then on the other side we had Gemma saying, "I birth big babies, I do it really well, trust me." And we said, "Yeah, we'll trust you." And what actually happened by trusting her is that about 15 minutes after she gave birth, Gemma had a glass of champagne, and then sandwiches were made for her kids to go off to school with. And had she had a C-section, that would have been 6 weeks of recovery. Yes. And, you know, not being able to look after her family as well and efficiently. So that's why I'm such an advocate for friendship first, because we just trusted Gemma that she would always, always put the birth of Jasper above her want for a home birth.
Kitty, tell me about the moment when your baby came into the world. Tell me what your feelings and emotions were.
I was very, very overwhelmed. This is something that I'd been thinking about for a very long time. So I was diagnosed with something called MRKH when I was 16, which is an absence of the uterus. So I have ovaries, which is how we were able to make our embryos, one of them being Jasper, but obviously don't have a home to grow him in. So fast forward 16 years, and for it to finally actually be happening, I was just so, so, so overwhelmed. I think I spent the first week in shock, in love and so happy, but in massive shock. But the way that Gemma birthed him just made it, I wasn't worried. It was all just hope in that moment. And he came out and you gave us a little bit of a fright, didn't you? You didn't squeal straight away. You had to have a bit of a wallop on the back, but on the bottom, big slap on the bottom. But it was just it was just amazing, and it just felt all like it was so meant to be.
It's so emotional listening to you both. I asked David about the societal prejudices, challenges that he faces. Gemma, do you, being a surrogate, do you feel like you find society gets you?
I think at first, when I first became a surrogate, I used to get quite upset that others, you know, didn't get why we do it, what's our motivation for it all. But as I've gone on to have, obviously, you know, subsequent journeys, I've realised that I'm at peace with people not getting it. You know, I'm in a circle of friends who do get it, and I'm in an organisation that feel like family. So for me, if watching my birth video or seeing my journey video, if you don't kind of understand why surrogates do it, then, you know, it's clear that we do it because we want to make people happy. And that's our drive for it.
It's very life-affirming to listen to you, Gemma. Kitty, do you face any societal raising of eyebrows? Or
I think, well, because I knew that surrogacy would be a thing to hopefully pursue, I've been really open for years with all of my friends, family, etc. So when it got to the point that we were looking to start our surrogacy journey, we never had to say to people, look, this is a thing we had to look to do. So actually within friends and family, no, everyone's been fantastic because we've been advocates of it for a long time and discussed it. And I've always been so open to people asking questions. And then since he's been born, I love saying to people, like, he's a surrogate baby, and then they have so many questions, and I've not actually received any backlash except for really harmless questions like, were you scared she was going to want to keep it, which I think is something that people jump to almost immediately. Now, no one's meaning to offend me or anything. I think it's just a genuine question, and what we'd always say to that is, well, a surrogate's just as worried that you'd say, actually, you know what, this ain't for me, keep the baby. And actually, because of the PO being the way it is, they're legally responsible until you've done the PO. So there's actually a just as big a risk factor that way round for the surrogates. And when you say that to people, you see it click and you think, yes, this is, I hadn't thought of it from that side. So that's the only thing that people like to ask. Other than that, I mean, he's too cute. They can't say anything. He's amazing.
David, tell us about Miles's character. Tell us about him.
He likes to make himself known. He's always been a bit of a firecracker. He's sorry, the way he's looking at me at the moment is making me laugh. He's always had a big personality. Likes to make himself known. He absolutely despises his father being on his mobile phone, and wants to always grab it, take it for himself. Probably make calls, actually, if I'm being honest. But yeah, I mean, every day I'm learning more and more about him. You know, he's starting to sort of lose a little bit of his baby looks now, and he's just looking like a real little boy. And so yeah, he's his own being, and that's the other thing I was kind of surprised about, because you know, when you dream in for so long about having your own child, and you have this kind of idolized fantasy of what he or she might be like or look like or whatever, and then they come out and they're absolutely their own individuals, aren't they? They're completely their own little people. And so he's forging his own way, you know, free of any kind of expectations that I might have put on him to begin with. And I'm seeing that more and more. He's just becoming his own little boy. So I'm very lucky to have him. I'm so, so blessed, really.
Oh, so heartwarming to hear you speak in the way you do. Kitty, tell us about Jasper.
Yeah, he's also amazing with a huge personality. He's just, the best thing about him this week is he's been really watching us eat and drink, and he's just grabbing for everything. So in a month's time, I can't wait to start weaning him. He's just a really happy, lovely baby. And he's more than I could ever have imagined he would be. He's currently trying his best to crawl, but just spins around in a circle. But yeah, just learning new things every day and watching progress is just the most rewarding thing. I didn't realise how much he'd changed just literally day by day. And it's just a pleasure to be at home with him at the moment.
Oh, so I'm just going to ask each of you, we haven't got much time left, but I just want to ask each of you. So Gemma, for anybody thinking about becoming a surrogate, what would you say to them? Why should they do it?
So firstly, I'd say research as much as possible. Research. If you feel that it's the right thing that you feel like doing, look into what kind of route you want to go down, whether you want to go down the route of an organisation like Surrogacy UK, or whether you want to go down the independent route, and ask questions, get involved either communities or both communities, and just, you know, if you can speak to other surrogates that have gone through it, just basically ask lots of questions, and if it's something that you feel like you really want to do, then look at the options that you want to go down, because you know there's for the right one there for you, depending on what kind of route you want to go down to surrogacy. But for me, having an organisation behind me for support for if anything ever did go wrong, like you mentioned earlier about, you know, us as surrogates, we have to trust the IPs, the intended parents as well, you know, that they're going to want to actually keep their baby. For me, my first question when I had my membership advisor come out to my house when I very first started this journey was, are there any IPs that have changed their minds? You know, on the flip side, you know, the IPs think, oh, will the surrogates change their mind? But us as surrogates, you know, when we give birth to a surrogate baby, I think the feeling of relief that responsibility is over as such for carrying is just huge. And that's why when people will say, you know, how do you know, people that aren't educated as such on it, you know, how do you feel handing over a baby? But, you know, it's not ever my baby or our baby, it's our friend's baby that we're just babysitting, that's all. And that feeling of responsibility that I'm not carrying that baby was huge. And seeing my IPs with their baby and knowing that I haven't got to change that nappy that they're doing, or I can just drink my body weight in wine, basically, after. So, yeah.
Beautifully put. David, I'm going to give the final word to you. Single men who are listening, who want a bit. Oh, not, no, you're not getting the final word. Somebody else is.
No, you can't.
David, single men who might be listening, who want a baby, tell them. Tell them what they should do.
Well, first of all, you know, they need to know absolutely that they can do it. It's totally feasible. I'd go on Dadbee and have a look at some of the options that you've got available to you. I will always be a really strong advocate of Surrogacy UK. Miles wouldn't be here without him. They're an incredible, they're an incredible organisation. And I was saying earlier, just really looking forward to when we can all meet face to face again, because there's so many babies that have been born through surrogacy that need to meet each other, you know, our socials and such. But yeah, if you're a single guy and you're thinking of doing it on your own, know you can do it. Surrogacy UK is a great first port of call. If you're not interested in doing it with an organisation, there are many independent groups you can join on Facebook. And there's also some surrogacy agencies that will support you for a fee.
Brilliant.
Not for profit agencies, I might add.
Yes.
So go for it.